who that is, our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God Himself. The second, recognize and meditate on God's wondrous works. And man, has that been fun to do over the last several weeks for me. As we see spring is coming, it starts next week. We have flowers coming up. We have trees starting to bloom. And I think it's interesting, as you look at the same trees, as I pull out of my neighborhood and I say, well, none of those trees have started blooming. But look at that one, all full of white buds already. God's wondrous works are all around us each and every day. In nature, in people, in creation. They're building an amazing building across the street. Our neighbors across the street. God's wondrous works that we can even think how to build those things and do those properly. It's all around. The third thing is enter the race. And when we enter the race, we want to run with purpose to win the race. We don't want to just get in there and say, I got my number on my back and I'm here. And then say, well, I didn't finish the race. Disqualified, whatever. We want to enter that race and we want to run it with purpose. Amen? And we want to run it to win. And the fourth thing is study and learn God's Word so that we can grow biblically and spiritually, so that we can help ourselves out, we can help each other out, we can grow each other, we can hold each other accountable, and we can help one another. Those four areas I believe that God has for this church to focus on this week. Now, as we prepare for battle today, did everyone bring your sword today? Let's raise our swords up high. And repeat after me. This is my Bible. It leads me. It feeds me. Amen. And I told you guys to do a much shorter version. A much shorter version, okay? But it leads me and it feeds me. And it is very difficult to go into battle each day without a weapon in hand. Or worse yet, having a weapon in hand but not being sure how to use that weapon. That can be a dangerous thing in the hands of the wrong person or if we handle it inappropriately. Today's scripture reading is from Psalm 27, verse 7 through 14. You don't have to turn there. You can if you want, but 7 through 14. Really what I want you to do is hear what I'm saying and listen to the words that the psalmist is speaking here. He says, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. For when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Let us pray. May the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in Thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. A couple things that the psalmist was saying in there. In the very beginning, he said, the first scripture was, hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. He had no problem. He had no pride standing in the way of him crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me. He had no problem with that. But seeking the presence of God, it says, seek my face. God said, seek my face. And he said, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. The song we sang today, I will seek. Dozens and dozens of times throughout the scripture, God tells us to seek him. And to seek His face. To seek His will. The other thing He says is, teach me your way, O Lord. He's telling us, learn about me. The psalmist said, teach me, God. Teach me your ways and your will. For I want to know those things. And he says, lead me in a smooth path. Why? Because of my enemies, I need a smooth path. Anybody ever been hiking and traveling up and down rough terrain? You'd much rather have a smooth path. Let's flip over to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 40, and let's compare what's said there also. The psalmist wanted to seek God. He wanted to call out on Him, and he wanted a smooth path. In Isaiah, just a couple chapters over in the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 40, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11 today. And we're going to compare what the psalmist said and what Isaiah the prophet is saying here. Isaiah 40, verse 1 through 11 says, "Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned. For she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Verse 3, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord." We'll be talking about that next week, preparing the way for the Lord. Then it says, "Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. For every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And let's stop right there for a minute. And he again is talking about the pathway and the highway, laying out a path for him. And he says, in those valleys, when we're in those valleys, fill them up. Make them level. Make them even. On the mountains, on the hills, take those down and level those out. Fill those and make it smooth. On the curved path, he says, make it straight. Make it easy. Compared to what the psalmist said about the highway also. In verse 5 it says, "All flesh shall see it together." Not might see it, shall see it together. In verse 6 it goes on to say, "The voice said, cry out." And he said, "What shall I cry out?" Ever get that feeling? Lord says, hey, tell them about it. Great. Tell them about what? What am I going to tell them about? He says, "All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. For the grass withers and the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass, and the grass withers, and the flowers fade. But the word of our God stands forever." Amen. O Zion, you who bring good tidings, you who speak the good news, get up into the high mountain, O Jerusalem, you who bring the good news. Lift up your voice with strength. Lift it up and be not afraid. He's telling them, those of you that bring the good news, do it with boldness. Don't do it with fear. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God shall come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs with his arm and carry them into his bosom, and gently lead those who are with young. He's telling us about a God that cares for every one of his sheep. He's telling us about a God that will walk up when we're struggling and will pick us up and will hold us close to him and will carry us to the place where we need to be. I think we need to remember today that that God isn't a distant God. That God is right here. That God is right here in this place, in us. And that God is just waiting for us to call on Him. That God is waiting for us to remember that He's here for us. But likewise, we have responsibilities to Him. A voice calling out and making smooth a path. Two comparisons there. Two comparisons that both the psalmist made and the prophet made. And next week, as we talk about the triumphant entry into Jerusalem by Jesus, we're going to talk a little bit about preparing the way. But today I want to talk about, what are we preparing for? How are we preparing? What can we do to make that transition or that path smooth? And I believe God's Word is telling us two areas. And it's calling out to Him. It's simply calling out to Him. Some of you may remember exactly where and when and how you called out to God for the first time. You may remember that first time that you called on God and said, God, I need You to carry me through this. I need You to help me get through this. Maybe you said, hey, God, I need You in my life to direct my path, because where I'm walking isn't working. I believe He's telling us to call out to Him. And once we call out to Him, don't forget, He's still there the next time we need Him. It's not like we have five call out to God cards and we've used all five and we have no more. Kind of like the fish and the bread. It's not like you have no more. Miraculously, it just keeps coming. The second thing is making a straight path. For those valleys, we need to fill those up. For those hills that we climb, obstacles in our way, we need to tear those down. We need to remove those and get those out of the way. I believe with all my heart that God is present in this place. And I believe with all my heart that God is present in these people, in every one of us. And I believe God is calling us in 2013 to step up to a different level. To be better people. To be more Christ-like. Why, that's His call for every Christian. The good news of the gospel. The resurrection of Jesus Christ in 2 weeks. We will celebrate that. And when we celebrate that, we'll be talking the next week about what comes after that celebration. You celebrate a birthday. Yesterday, we celebrated Kobe's birthday. We had a birthday party for him. Batman stuff everywhere. I'll be quite honest. I asked Andrew, can I take some of this stuff? Because I've got a 51-year-old brother that loves Batman. And we just celebrated his birthday, and he's still getting Batman stuff. So I took some of it. And we celebrated the birthday. And I don't remember, I believe he said, he looked in a bag and he said, Mima. And he pulls it out and it's candy everywhere. And he pulled out clothes, but I loved it. It was the same exact clothes, socks. But you could see a little twinkle in his eye when the candy came out. So when the celebration is over for our birthday, some of us would rather just lift the carpet and say, I don't want to celebrate another one. I love birthdays. I love celebrating them. But when we celebrate things, what comes afterwards? Well, as I saw evidence yesterday, it's cleanup. As I saw at my mother's house for my brother's birthday, it was cleanup afterwards. And I dare say, as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ in 2 weeks, after that we're going to reflect on the cleanup. Now what? When we talk about calling out to Jesus in Acts 2, after the resurrection, He said, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? And it shall come to pass. Not it might come to pass. And it says, and they shall be saved. Not they might be saved. It's a possibility. And I know from the fleshly side, as we look at people, we say, they might be saved, but I don't know. And we want to judge. But God says, it shall come to pass that they shall be saved. We've got to humble ourselves anytime we go before God. For God does not like prideful people. And I tell you what, if you've ever walked down an aisle to accept Jesus Christ, you're probably pretty humble at that moment. Most people go in, you can go in boldness, but you go in humility also. We have to come before Him as humble people, wrapped in humility to call on His name. But we've got to have faith that when we do that, He's going to hear us and He is going to answer us. Whether it's simply to be saved, to ask for help, or to say, God, I've got myself in a mess. Now what? Now what do I do, God? I've tried to fix it, and for the last 20 years it just didn't take. So I need your help. Just humble yourself before the Lord. In Colossians 1, verse 9 through 14, Paul is speaking to the Colossians there. In Colossians 1, verse 9 through 14, he says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, let me stop right there and just say, if you're not joining us Wednesday night for Bible studies, come Wednesday night for Bible studies. We're going through the book of Galatians right now. And we talked about this last week, about living in the Spirit, but not walking in the Spirit. And I love the questions that people are asking, and I love that the answers they're getting or giving themselves. Join us here Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock for Bible study, so we can increase in the knowledge of God. Verse 11 goes on to say, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. As we walk out and we call on Jesus Christ, and we've got to smooth out those rough spots, and we have to make those rough spots smooth, fill the valleys, bring down the hills, and straighten the winding road. As we do those, forgiveness is right there. And I believe forgiveness and love are the bulldozer that will take down those hills and fill the valleys. 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I talked briefly last week during the music, and I apologize. I understand some of you said, I couldn't hear what you were saying. And I just talked about some conversations that I've had over the last couple weeks from people that have talked to me or called me. And we have hurt in this group. And we have pain and suffering in this group. And I thought this morning, I want to help with that. But it's not me that changes or helps or heals. It's God Himself. I believe, again, that our road is made smooth through love and forgiveness as Christ followers. As most of you know, Eric and I were at a class back in August in another town.
And I got a call, got a text that my sister's son had been shot and killed. Her husband died 3 years ago, 2 weeks before Christmas, the same night of our Christmas party at our house. And I rode up with Eric, so Eric took me home. And I remember about 10 or 15 miles from where we left from, heading home, just looking out the window thinking, what in the world? And God came down and spoke to me and He said, Adam, forgive whoever did that. And I remember looking out in the window, and it was in an area in Oklahoma that had a lot of fires that had burned down tons and tons of acres. And just looking through burned woods. And I remember just looking off into that and saying, God, I don't know who did this. And I don't know why. And I don't know if they know. You see, there were three different guns fired there, almost 100 rounds. And one bullet found my nephew and killed him as he drove out of the parking lot. I said, but God, I forgive them. I don't know who. Again, I don't know if they know. But that has helped me a lot. My mother's here today. I didn't expect that, by the way. But I see in my sister resentment. And I wish her that forgiveness that I had. But you see, it wasn't my son that was shot and killed. So it's easy to stand here and say, you just need to forgive them for what they've done to you. You see, my parents never abused me. They never abused me. I don't understand that. Nobody has taken my wife or my kids from me. I don't understand that. But I know that God's Word says He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness if we confess our sins. And if we have unforgiveness in our heart, how can God the Father forgive us of our sins? Are we really living day to day for Jesus Christ? Are we seeking His face today? I said in Wednesday night Bible study, it is not enough. Young people, listen up, as well as the older folks. It is not enough for us to come here Sundays and Wednesdays and expect our life to be changed and transformed by that alone. It is not enough. We have got to seek God every day. We've got to look at those four areas. We've got to be revived, reinvigorated, re-excited about a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to understand where God's wondrous works are in front of us. We have to recognize those and meditate and be thankful for those things. We have to learn and study His Word. We have to understand how to use that weapon. For those of you that have been in the military, they didn't put a weapon in your hand without teaching you how to use that and teaching you the dangers of those weapons. You have to understand how to use that and how to use it for good. In the superhero theme from yesterday's birthday party, use these things for good. My question today is, what have you decided to do? I have three questions I want to ask you before we pray. Do you have a need in your life that hurts so bad that you feel you need to cry out to Jesus? We all have needs and hurts, but do you have one that you feel you need to cry out to Jesus today, but you're just a little bit away? The second one, do you have someone that you're struggling to forgive?
Guys, this may be very recent. This may be a long time ago in your life. It may be a parent, and that may go a long ways back. It may be a brother, a sister, a family member, a friend, a business partner. Do you have someone you're struggling to forgive? And the third question is, do you have unforgiveness in your heart for anything, anyone? And if you answer yes to any of those, all I want you to do is come down front here, and I want to pray for you. As we pray as a church, I want you to come forward as we sing this, because I want you to decide, what have you decided to do today? To live through the same way? To go through the same pain and suffering you have? To go through the same unforgiveness you've carried for possibly years? Or are you going to make that change and decision today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. And again, as we pray as a church body, if you've answered yes to any of those, would you come forward here? And I want to pray for you as we finish as a church praying. Father, I just thank you right now. I thank you for the decisions being made. I thank you for the excitement being stirred up in the hearts of these people. God, I thank you for the want and desire for these people to learn about you, to study you, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every day seeking your face.
No turning back. No turning.
God, for the pain that people in this church are suffering right now, I ask you to come down and wrap yourself around them, that they feel the love of Christ, but more importantly, that they feel the love of this church, lifting them up and supporting them.
The world behind me.
God, for the unforgiveness, people that may be harboring unforgiveness in their heart, Lord, would you just loosen that in their heart? Would you wrap their heart in baby skin?
Though none go with me, I still will follow.
God, would you just comfort them right now? Would you comfort them right now, Lord? Lord, would you make us a body that cares for one another? Would you make us a body of believers that lifts up one another?
I still will.
That helps carry the burden for others.
No turning back. No turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus?
Have you decided today?
Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back. No turning back.
Stop turning back, people.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Today, again, you may be sitting where you're at, and you may have answered yes to one of those three questions. And if you're sitting in your chairs, that is all right where you sit. Because Jesus still comes right where you are. You don't have to come do this. I want to pray for you up here. Father, for those down front here, I ask you to be with them. I ask you to just wrap their heart in your love. The love of Christ, the love of this church body.
I still will follow. No longer with me.
Lord, where there's hurt and pain and suffering right now, Father, I just ask you
I still
to fill that heart with love,
follow.
To fill it with
no
forgiveness and kindness.
Back. No turning back.
Lord, I ask your loving arms to wrap that family in love. Lord, I ask you to show yourself true in the midst of pain and suffering and hurt, that you still are a God that loves and cares. God, where there's forgiveness or unforgiveness, I ask you to heal that and release that and dissipate that. Lord, I ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. If you would stand before we dismiss, we're going to sing I Have Decided. And it says there's no turning back, no turning back. Some of you guys may know people that have decided to follow Christ and they turned away. Let's make that commitment today. Let's lift our voices.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
Sing it with your heart.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
Let's sing that same verse one more time. Father, we just ask you as we dismiss today to help us know when to call out on you, call on your name. We ask you to help remind us daily to make our road smooth, to fill the valleys and take down the peaks, to take the curves and make them straight. We ask these things in your Son's name. You guys, you are dismissed. Have a great week. Please remember the body of Christ. Those that hurt in the body of Christ, just lift them up throughout the week. And if you have pain and suffering or needs, please let us know. I feel God doing things in this church to help each other wrap around each other. Let's have a great week. Join us for Bible study Wednesday at 7 o'clock. If you're a first-time guest or visitor, please meet me down at the bottom of the stairs right here, and I have some information I'd like to give you.